Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Reddit filing for its long-awaited IPO, the first social media company to go public in years. Of course, Sam Altman is involved, and what it says about tech right now. It is Friday, February 23rd. Welcome back to the Tech Check podcast. I'm Mark Gilbert with Deirdre Bosa. Dee, it's been a while. It's been more than a week.
I know. I've missed you. I've missed the pod.
Welcome back.
I couldn't be more thrilled for this topic. I feel like it's like our sweet spot.
It has
a personality. It has an IPO. It has lots of under the radar.
Yeah, it has lots of sort of like weird little like corners and nooks of like valuations and fundraising over the years.
Yes. So at long last, Reddit. I mean, we're going to talk about Reddit, but really we're going to talk about the money behind Reddit.
Totally.
But if you don't know what Reddit is, you probably do. You may not know, though, that it's nearly 20 years old. You and I went back and forth, Mark. We were like, is this internet 1.0, 2.0? It's firmly 2.0, but like right at the beginning. It's
totally.
2005. Nearly 20 years old. One of the more fascinating things we found is that it's still losing money. You think about Reddit and like the face of the internet, how high could the cost be? But when you go through the S1, you can see that, you know, it's just been losing money for a long time. And we talked a few weeks ago, Mark, about the IPOs that we'll get this year versus the ones that the market really wants. Reddit is firmly in that first bucket, which doesn't mean it's not interesting. We love to see a prospectus, especially for a company that we've been wondering about its financials for so long, but perhaps more interesting than the implications for the IPO market at large, because I don't think this is like the company that's going to bust open the doors or anything like that. Perhaps more interesting are its ties to tech person and startup of the moment. Who else would that be? Well, could be Jensen Huang, but in this case, it's Sam Altman and OpenAI.
Yeah, you and I were debating this morning, actually, who is sort of tech person of the moment, but clearly Sam Altman
You got to tell our listeners the exact wording you used.
Who would be on the cover of Silicon Valley Vogue?
Or did you say Vogue or Vanity Fair?
I said Vogue.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna imagine them sort of dressed up, you know, sort of styled, you know, and Annie Leibovitz doing the shoot. But yeah, so let's lay it out, right? Reddit filed its S1 to go public. And in that S1, with a lot of financials, it also includes everyone who owns Reddit shares currently pre-IPO. And
the biggest holders.
Yeah, the biggest holders. And it turns out that as a sort of surprise, I mean, we knew that he participated, but that it turns out that Sam Altman is the third largest shareholder in the company, behind only Tencent, which made a huge investment, and the Newhouse family, their investment company, Advanced Publications, which famously owns Condé Nast. Condé Nast bought Reddit many, many years ago, and then it took more money, so it diluted its ownership stake. Over the last decade, Sam Altman, has invested at least $60 million in the company, giving him now what's almost a 10% stake, larger than CEO and co-founder Steve Huffman's stake, larger than Alexis Ohanian's stake. Altman, I didn't realize this at all, but Sam Altman was even CEO of the company for 8 days back in 2014 and sat on the board as recently as 2021.
Hat tip to our producer, Jasmine Wu, who found like Sam Altman's blog post from back in 2014, where he was like, it's been great being CEO
for a week.
8 days, and now I'll hand it over to Ellen Powell, who is another, you know, well-known name in the tech industry, venture capital investor. And it was just fascinating to see the many iterations that this company has been through. But the Sam Altman of it all was fascinating to us because it feels like he touches like almost every story we talk about these days. And we started looking into the empire of Altman. And it turns out it is broader and more complex than many may have thought. Reddit is just sort of the tip of the iceberg. And we knew that he had invested in some other companies, especially ones that have gone public in recent years, like Asana and Instacart. But really, it's like the hottest startups of the last few years, too. Not just them. It's Stripe. It's Cruise, you know, self-driving car Cruise. It was acquired by GM. Humane, which is sort of a buzzy AI startup. You might have seen that AI pin demoed on social media. But that's a handful. It's more than 125 companies since 2010, according to PitchBook. And they span everything from ed tech to blockchain, aviation, and of course, many, many in AI, while he's also been building his own AI company, OpenAI.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to sort of pause there. 120, because you had some shock as well. 125 companies is a lot. You know, even if these are angel, you know, some of these are sort of small angel type checks, that's still, you know, 10 to 15 new companies every year for the last, you know, 10 to 12 years. And also the fact that, you know, you see a lot of some of these sort of like former operators. I mean, he's always been an investor, former operators now use some of their sort of wealth to make some of these venture and, you know, angel investments. Mm-hmm. They're usually not at sort of like all of the highest profile, you know, buzzy type startups.
But he's been in it for years, right? And it goes back to his time at Y Combinator when he had a front row seat to all the most interesting, exciting startups. And you can imagine of 125, and it's probably even more than that, you're going to get some wins there. And he's had such a high number, at least it seemed like that to me, of investment vehicles. Like so many different pots that he's had his hand in, whether that was Y Combinator or investment firms with his brothers. He's got two brothers and they all sort of operate in this tech space. So let's go through them. It's just as sprawling. There's Hydrazine Capital. This is an investment firm that he founded with his brothers. CB Insights also lists Apollo Projects. I looked into that and it looks like he started that with his brothers also. There's Altman Capital. Maybe that involves his brothers. I'm not sure, but that's like three alone. And then there's Personal Investments, which, as I mentioned, they go back to his time heading up Y Combinator. And then let's also not forget that he's the owner of OpenAI's venture capital fund. Last May reported $175 million in total commitments. And this was only supposed to be temporarily in Altman's name, but remains part of his investment empire, as far as we know.
I could not believe that story. Let's take another pause there. Yes. How funny was that story? So that was a story this week that turns out OpenAI created a venture fund, as you know, lots of companies do, but that this venture fund is not owned by OpenAI. And actually they put it in Sam Altman's name. And someone, you know, followed up with the company, and the company said, oh yeah, you know, it's just sort of like easier in the moment to just like put it in Sam's name while we did all these investments. I mean, but like what an amateur, you know, like anti-corporate governance move to make for a sophisticated group of, you know, of operators. And then also the, you know, what would have happened if Sam Altman had successfully been pushed out?
Yeah.
Where does that go? Would he have given them back, you know, all those venture investments that were in his name? It's just sort of crazy story.
Part of me kind of loves it also because like these are a bunch of nerdy engineers, researchers who are so focused on the task at hand and have essentially like changed tech as we know it with ChatGPT in November of 2022. Like they had that moment. It wasn't Google. It wasn't Microsoft. It was OpenAI, this group of people who didn't have time to put their venture fund under the corporate umbrella. They just put it in Altman's name. And
well, yeah, and we have sort of talked about that, you and I, about how OpenAI is sort of a strange, it's not exactly like, though. Yeah, and it's that weird nonprofit, and it's a lot of researchers and academics, not the sort of usual list of VCs from Silicon Valley. Although, you know, Sam Altman's involved, Elon Musk is involved, you'd think they would know to put the venture capital in the company's name.
You know, this is such like a Silicon Valley story of trying so many different things at such a fast pace and investing in different companies. Like even the idea of Sam Altman as CEO of Reddit for 8 days. And he said that he was, you know, he's been this power user. I can't remember what the status, but he used it like every day for a number of years or something. And just to like be at the forefront of that, of innovation and touch so many different companies, it's so fascinating. You made this comparison that I can't get out of my head earlier, and you didn't make a comparison. You just said this kind of reminds me, when's the last time that we had sort of one person who touched every story, it felt like, that we were reporting on, and that was Sam Bankman-Fried.
Yep. Exactly. Whereas like every, you know, there would be all these stories about, you know, other crypto companies getting bought or going under, or just, you know, other VC investments getting made. And it was always Sam Bankman-Fried at the center of the story. I'm not at all, you know, trying to like, I have no reporting linking the two. I just think it's interesting when you start seeing these environments where one person starts to sort of like personally come into every single story.
He's like the notorious example, but there's been other people in tech who have had their hands in many, many different pots. You can even argue that NVIDIA's Jensen Huang is one of those people. They're investing from their VC arm. He's been in the mix forever.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of the big tech corporate VC arms too just have been part of companies.
You know what I was thinking about? You'll remember this, but Jack Ma from Alibaba, right? There was some of the reporting around, you know, after Alibaba went public, there was a lot of reporting that actually you know, parts of Alibaba that they had commercial relationships with were actually owned by Jack Ma and not owned by Alibaba. And there was like a lot of sort of like murkiness about where the economic interests of different, you know, subsidiaries and arms actually lay.
It plays into this idea of cult of the founder, right?
Totally.
Which we've covered many, many times over the years. And Sam Altman has certainly reached that status. For better or for worse, right? We were kind of trying to figure out this morning, what do we call him? Do we call him Tech's golden child? But he's also controversial.
Totally.
Right? But just a fascinating figure and to touch so many different parts of tech. And now with Reddit, he kind of upstaged Reddit's moment a little bit today.
Yeah, kind of interesting. I mean, I definitely think that there's an interesting thing with Reddit, which is that it's 20 years old. It's basically the same age as Facebook. And yet it's still unprofitable, as you mentioned at the top. And, you know, there is something in tech and in business about consistency and just execution over the years. And Reddit has had this strange history where, you know, it was founded by Alexis Ohanian and Steve Huffman, and then it was bought by Condé Nast. And then it's had all these different CEOs and it's raised money in all these different ways. And then, you know, Huffman returned as the CEO and is now taking it public, and it got these different rounds of investment. And now it's going to, you know, IPO at a $5 billion valuation versus something like Facebook, right?
$5 million, is that your guess?
I don't know. Yeah, that's just sort of my guess. You know, like five, whatever, you know, somewhere in that range.
I like being settled on that. I have no idea. It was last valued at $10 billion in 2021, but those are like silly makeup numbers.
And who knows? Yeah. And Fidelity has written down its investment by half. So you can just sort of easy round number say it's...
Who knows? It's an interesting question because it is... We know this, very difficult to be a social media company. The business is hard unless you are Meta/Facebook.
But that's what I was thinking is Meta was founded at the same time and is now worth over $1 trillion. And then this is a company that's going to go public, you know, even if it's wildest dreams would go public at, you know, $10 billion valuation.
Snap, it's done nothing since its IPO, had a real tough time. And that's like kind of a success story because then you look at another name news out this morning, Nextdoor, which never kind of reached those stratospheric levels, or actually you could argue that it did because it went public through SPAC in 2021, I believe, for more than $4 billion. It's now trading at $600 million-something dollars.
Yeah. Sub-billion, yeah.
Argue it's, you know, like a zombie company because it just has not figured out the business model. And its CEO, Sarah Friar, who's such an interesting figure, she was at Square alongside Jack Dorsey for many years. She was CFO and she went to take the CEO job at Nextdoor for Nirav Tolia, who was the founder and CEO. Now he's returning. So obviously it hasn't been a straight line for Nextdoor and you wonder what they're going to do next. It'll be interesting to see how Reddit is received as a public company. Because again, I don't think like tech investors are super, super excited about a 20-year-old social media company and the way that they are about AI companies, right? We're talking about IPOs this year, in the last very few and far between in terms of any like significant names over the last 6 months. And Arm has just been going wild. And I wonder if that starts to encourage some AI companies to
start testing the waters.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about that. As you said at the top, it's the companies that we're going to get versus the companies we want. Not we, but you know, the companies that the market wants versus the companies the market is going to get, right? The companies that the market is going to get are the companies that need funding and somehow can't get it in the private markets or just, you know, it's been 20 years. They finally have to go. Are young companies who are really, you know, exciting and growthy. Can they just go tap private financing and stay private for, if not forever, for another 10 to 20 years.
But the whole environment has changed, right? It's harder to raise money for many companies. you've seen this huge sell-off for some companies in the public markets. It's been all about the Magnificent Seven, but the Nextdoors get left behind.
Totally.
And it kind
Subscale.
Of
we were thinking, it's the same thing as Nextdoor. It's the same thing as Reddit. It's the same thing as Snap. I mean, it's you know, and you're right. And Snap's been a relative success, but you know, X, like, you know, any sort of subscale tech platform has really struggled.
Well, and then it's touching like this sort of turmoil is touching other industries that have been hit hard in the downturn, like fintech company Klarna. This is a story we were both interested in.
Fascinating. Yeah. Klarna had this sort of boardroom coup this week. The Information did some great reporting.
Attempted boardroom coup.
Yeah. Where Sequoia, who's a significant investor, tried to replace Michael Moritz, who is the former chairperson of Sequoia, but is no longer
with another Sequoia partner.
Yeah. With another Sequoia partner. Basically, you know, whatever. Sequoia tried to exert some influence on the board, and Klarna's, you know, CEO and founder backed Moritz, and basically Sequoia had to back off and replace their representative on the board. You know, it's really like sort of insidery drama if you're like you and me and you're really interested in it. But I think from a larger perspective, what does it say about tech? It says that, you know, when numbers are going down, all of a sudden there's a lot more drama and there's a lot more, you know, founders get coming back or founders getting fired or, you know, management changes or disagreements over strategy. When everything's going up and to the right, you know,
Everyone's happy.
No one's trying to replace the board.
And it's funny how it happens in tech, like behind doors, which is, you know, on a lot of the companies we cover that are based in New York or in trade on Wall Street, you have activist investors agitating. But a lot of this stuff happens behind closed doors because that's where venture capital operates.
Yeah, operates.
But yeah, that's what happened at Reddit 10 years ago and Flexport not that many months ago. Now Nextdoor, the founder coming back to replace a CEO. It's interesting just to bring it back to that point of the cult of the founder, how strong that is, right, with the Sam Altman, but how weak it can be when the company is running into
trouble.
Well,
it's also the cult of Sam Altman. Let's see if we can get Sam Altman involved at, you know, I don't know, Nextdoor or Klarna. Maybe, you know, maybe just more companies need to get Sam Altman involved. Yeah.
This transitory period. Oh, no, sorry. They've got their new CEO, the founder.
Yeah.
Anyways, fascinating story. We'll continue to cover it. We'll continue to see like this web of Sam Altman and how far it spreads. And also on that note, do not miss out on our weekly. It is such a good one this week.
Yeah, we had a great, and it'll be up on our stream right now as a podcast, but you can also check it out at cnbc.com/techcheck. And it's all about NVIDIA, Sam Altman, and the ambition that is going to drive the trillion-dollar AI startup.
In particular, if you're wondering why we're talking about chips all the time, our piece really breaks it down. Like what Jensen Huang and Sam Altman and OpenAI and NVIDIA have in common is they're working on generative AI, but chips is like the necessary ingredient. It's the hardware of the AI world. So we'll explain sort of why that matters so much, why it's so expensive, why Sam Altman, you know, may or may not need to raise $7 trillion. But we found it striking this week when we were listening to NVIDIA earnings, just to hear Jensen Huang talking trillions and not billions too. So make sure you catch that.
Have a good weekend.
Have a great weekend.
Dee, I'll see you next week.
See ya.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.